Thank you guys for your time. I'll make this as brief as possible, try to answer any questions that you have. Homeland Church has been in Berkeley County as a campus church for about 6.5 years. I have served as pastor, September was 5 years. I can't believe it. I say that with a bit of a sigh because I came over here to fill in the pastor we had left, and I was asking him to fill in for a few months until we figured out what we were doing. Well, 5 years later, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing. But the church has been blessed. We are growing. We are currently a congregation of about 125 plus and growing almost weekly, which has forced us to look for a place to build a permanent structure, as it were. I'm sure aware that we're currently being in the old high school, I guess what was band room. And that has served us well, with the exception of having outgrown it. I mean, the back of that room is very small. We're currently running only a good Sunday 20 to 30 children in the back, and so we are just super pressed for space. That being said, the property that I understand the county, if it's okay if I stand
sure. Up, sure.
The ground, I do every Sunday.
No problem.
You were certainly aware of a piece of property. I think it is referred to as the Sproul Tract. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Actually, it's all DSS buildings.
Right. I was made aware of this, I don't know, maybe as far back as 3 years ago. Tammy and I had a conversation. I don't remember. There was someone else at the tax department I had a conversation with. Anyway, I was made aware that there was, I think, three properties at the time that the county owned that they would be interested in getting rid of, as it were. We have looked at those various properties, and this particular piece of property is one that I have revisited numerous times. You know, I think about my time frame, maybe off, probably a year and a half ago, there was an appraisal done on the property because that was part of the discussion. I never got a copy or actually saw the appraisal. I was told, I think it was somewhere around in the $160,000 range on the appraisal.
150.
$150,000, okay. That being said, the appraisal was based upon square footage of the existing buildings that are there. Having been on the property numerous times, I've had an architect on the property as well to look at the buildings. We are of the opinion that if we are interested in pursuing the property, the buildings must go. I hope that doesn't offend anybody or anybody's feelings, but they got to go. The architect that I've had out, who also helped design the building in Eaton, which is our other church, he gave me some preliminary numbers on some basic designs that we were interested in, and the figures were that we could build new construction as cheaply as what we could rehab these buildings for. And if you guys have been in there recently, I mean in the past year or so, you know they're in pretty horrific shape. I know there's been some other discussions about rehabbing it, and if that works out for somebody else, then great. I have no issues or problems with that. But from our perspective, the property is really the only value to us if the buildings are gone. That being said, if you take out the appraisal value that had the square footage in there, the natural dollar value of this property decreases somewhat to that degree. We had a professional demolition company come and measure these buildings, take a look at it, because we want to know some pretty hard numbers what we're dealing with. The estimate that we got on demolition, removing all of this and putting it back to bare ground where we could start, was approximately $98,000, and that did not include landfill fees. They did tell us, because you know, it was a church / charitable organization, that we may be able to negotiate a better price with the landfill than standard prices. And so once we learned that number, that was a bit staggering as well, as far as what it would cost to put it back to ground zero. Now, I will tell you, I do not currently have a drawing of what a proposed building would look like. I can tell you that it would not be, quote, a traditional red brick structure, and I mean no offense by that whatsoever. We would want to build something that is aesthetically pleasing to the community. we would also develop a master plan, not just plop a building out there and say park where you can and you know, everybody's welcome to come, which they are, by the way. But we would develop a master plan because obviously our intent and what we are currently experiencing is that the local church will continue to grow. Now, with that being said, any of you who are familiar with Open Door whatsoever know they're a very community-oriented church with a lot of outreach. And so whether we locate here or somewhere else within the city or the county, our intentions is to be a community church, a place where we can serve needs on a practical level. Which, all that being said, leads me back to numbers. I've had a couple of conversations with Mr. Scott over here, and I told him we were at a point, having gotten numbers on demolition of what I felt like was a reasonable offer. That's where we are. We are looking, actively looking. We're going somewhere to build a church, Lord willing, if he provides us the opportunity. I love this location. It is still visible from the highway now that some of the old, what was that, the Carolina?
Carolina House?
Yes, sir. That the restaurant that was removed. You guys can enlighten me, I'm sure, a lot more on the proposed interstate that may come through. If it were, I've heard rumors that it, one of the proposals was that it would perhaps come through the existing road. And I think at this point, probably nobody really knows.
From what we understand, it's going around the back of, it'll go to the left of town, back behind,
okay,
toward the school, high school.
But even if it were hypothetically, but even if it were to come there, I feel like the property sits far enough back that we would be able to survive that.
Oh, you're fine.
And wind up, and so we're comfortable with that. I do know, based on a conversation I had with Mr. Castle over the town at another piece of property we looked at probably 3 or 4 years ago, the old Todd building over there. Once I learned the flood history and got an insurance quote on that, and the CAMA regulations from parking and so forth, we realized real quick that one, that building was not sufficient enough for us for future growth, and parking was not sufficient. So we've circled and looked at many properties. We keep coming back to this one. Tammy and I had a discussion not too long ago, and we decided that it was probably time to come before you folks, let you know what our intentions were, try to answer any questions that you might have, and when you're prepared, for me to throw out a number that either you're going to laugh at me or you're going to say, you know what, we need to take him serious when he leaves here today. And either one is fine because truly, this is the way I look at it. If it's meant to be, then the Lord will work it out and touch all of our hearts and minds and lead us in that direction. If not, then he's got some other place for us to be. So I'm curious at this point, before I talk any more, do y'all have specific questions for me before I go any further?
How many acres are you actually looking for?
At a minimum, 5 acres is what I think. At a minimum, and I know this sets at like 4.86, I think, the thing that I looked at. That is about the smallest that I think, strength that even we would even consider, just because of future expansion. One of the things that I mentioned being a community church that I foresee on this property is perhaps an open ball field, a community playground where all the area children can come and play freely, that sort of thing. And when you start talking about a church currently the size that we are, and our plans would be to build a facility that would seat a minimum of 300 people. Because I'm just going to tell you, set that 125, 30 folks right now, I've had enough experience with churches and church buildings that once you build, boom, you typically have a huge increase.
So you're going to be close to 10,000 square foot buildings?
Yes, sir, I would say, absolutely. Yeah. I would say 10 to probably 12, somewhere in that range, just depending. Depending on whether you build out or whether you build up, which would all be a part of a master plan, because you've got parking in there. As you folks are well aware, this area over here is much lower, and so it's kind of limited as to how far we'd be able to go over there and the things that we would be able to do with that. But yes, to answer your question, the square footage you're talking about is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, if this doesn't work out, we there's 4 acres that is available that is down there next to the cooperative extension, and a lot of it is going on.
Help somebody.
And it's not coming owned, it's privately owned, but it is available.
It's up by the hospital.
The only reason I'm bringing that up is because you need to have as many options.
Sure.
Because it's not going to be a decision on the list tonight.
Oh, sure, and I neither do I expect one, but you know, we need to have a conversation so that everybody hears the same thing at one time, and so that we can.
And that's off of King Street, and there's a neighborhood across the street, neighborhood behind it. We also have the new Parks and Recreation right behind it also. And reality, that's where a lot of the town is really going to.
Well, it may in fact be another property that's just coming available as a result of the teacher housing piece not moving forward, which is a piece which is a really prime piece. Town of Windsor has owned it for 20 years. It's on that same road, but it's on the right hand side.
Pretty much over here.
It's a beautiful piece of property. There are two pieces, I believe. One is it's as large as this piece of property, and it's and there are actually two pieces to it. I think it's somewhere like about 12 acres.
And that's located out by the hospital, is that what?
Yes, yeah, past the hospital. It's,
that town owns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Jay, you talked about an offer. You say, are you ready to, you know, and tell us what you're prepared to offer?
Oh, I am. I want to try to give you as much background and history as possible.
You want me to at least court us first?
Yeah, okay. I want to soften you just a little bit.
You want to court us first?
Well, and I'd like for you to give some examples of what Open Door Eatonton campus, how they are so community minded, and what they've done.
The Eatonton campus,
yes.
You said?
Just
the list
because,
is,
I mean, y'all will be doing some of the same.
You know, and it's important, I think, to understand that we are a part of a larger church. The home church, if you want to call it that, is located. It's Eatonton out on Highway 37 on Halton Road. It's rather. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Brad.
Anyway. Rather large church, comparatively speaking, for a rural area, 600-700 attendees on a Sunday. And the church does everything from practical level, assist single mothers from changing oil and vehicles. We feed the steamers every home game that they have. We have a clothing and a food distribution giveaway monthly. And again, the list goes on and on and on.
They have a coffee shop at Hartford.
Coffee shop in Hartford. Glad you reminded me of that. If you've ever been to Hartford downtown, the Brewer Rescue Coffee Shop is owned and operated by Open Door Church. And all of the proceeds, the profits from that cafe go to fight human trafficking efforts that we're involved in both locally and globally, literally. And so, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of things. And we mirror Open Door in Eatonton on a large degree as what we do, how we pattern, just that we're scaled back from providing our congregation in the area as large. So we are involved in a lot of those community things.
There was something else. Oh, you're opening a daycare, right?
That's correct. We've recently, though I say recently, it's been over a year ago now, and actually because we need to purchase what was the Alexander Electrical Building. You may be familiar with it, right on 17,
yep.
Headed to Parker. We purchased that property. That was any kind of a issue there that had to be sold. And I think we have finalized the permits after almost a year process, and we already have a rehabilitation plan that's been approved for that facility, construction. All the people are lined up to make that happen, and we are going to have a daycare preschool program there. We are going to scholarship, and not all of those students, but many of those students will be scholarship that are underprivileged kids that otherwise wouldn't have access to that type of service. And we also would use that building for, we have what we call a, well, I don't want to be derogatory here when I say soup kitchen, but it's we call it Open Door Diner, where we feed the community twice a week during the wintertime. There's no requirements except that you come and soup sandwiches and sometimes entertainment and just fellowship. And just another way to reach out and serve the community practically. In my mind's eye, at some point in time in the future, we would expand our programs, but right now, facility is absolutely the biggest limiting factor that we have, which just brings us back to the need for location. Sir?
Jerry, we appreciate you coming to all of us.
Absolutely, and do you want to hear some?
Sure.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to rush you.
No, you're perfectly fine. Again, based on the property, and I understand the appraisal, again, keep in mind that was factored in with the square footage of this building, which is a significant amount of square footage, mm-hmm. So you take that out. When I say our leadership, our local church here, any purchases have to be approved by the entire body.
Of course.
But we would be comfortable offering $50,000 for the property as it is,
mm-hmm.
And we would be responsible for the demolition, cleanup, getting all that gone. If you guys had the ability, I don't know, if you had the equipment, had the ability to get all that gone for us, then we would be in a position of $100,000. I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Yeah,
that.
We're not. It's just like when we were getting first sold over there, and he's playing the kid
I understand.
So,
I was saying with all the county equipment, though, you might have some hip equipment and some stuff.
Actually, we don't have it. We subcontract that online.
Yes, sir.
We've got somebody.
Yeah.
Mr. Daniels will do a fine job.
But I do think those numbers, when you think about them based on the fact that the buildings, at least from our perspective, have to go, I think they were fair and reasonable. We didn't want to come in and say, and I tell folks all the time when we are dealing with them in whatever capacity, because we are a church or a charitable organization, we don't look for a free ride when people find it in their hearts to be gracious. That's a wonderful thing, but we don't look for a free ride. But our leadership is comfortable with those numbers based on the situation. Now, an offset concern that we would have that we need to be talked about early on was the county owns the property, but it's in the city limits, and which currently is not zoned for houses of worship. But as I was told when we were looking at the Todd building about 3 years ago, that could easily be addressed and dealt with. And so I just want to put that out. That certainly would be a stipulation. Before we move on. So, questions? And if you do have questions, I know, like I said, there's not going to be a whole lot here tonight, but in the days, weeks, if it goes that long, months ahead, if you have questions, please feel free to contact me.
I think you're aware also that there are some other people interested in the property.
I did hear that.
And we got to listen to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And I have no qualms with that whatsoever. Again, we're at a place where we feel like we have to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Once I learned that there was some other interest in there, I just wanted to be able to speak to you folks jointly, and so that everybody hears the same thing at one time and understand that we are serious, as it were, and we'd be ready to make something happen here, provided if that was something that you guys thought was in your best interest as well. And so, we'll just see where it goes from here.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you
coming
out.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to send this right back over here to Ms. Harper.
Next on the agenda, as far as work session goes, we're going into a closed session economic development meeting. If I can have a motion to go into closed session, so move.
Second.
Under General Statute 143-318.11, and proper motion in the second, all in favor?
Aye.
We're in closed session. Close, please.
Yes, please.
Please. So we're not locking you in here. I want to make sure we try to keep everything as confidential as possible.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Right, that's fine. So that's not a problem. I'm not sure who the spokesperson is. Name is not on the issue.
It will be Chris Partisan. I wanted to open this up just in case none of you had met any of, I know Commissioner Weston has met with him before, but Chris and other ones that we'll introduce in a few minutes. But with the Tuscarora Indians, they have bought some property down in Snake Bite, just past Snake Bite, and have built already a trading post, correct? We call it, which is kind of going to be a convenience store and something they desperately need kind of in that area. But the main reason we're here today is to talk to you about something that could be realistically the biggest thing that hit Eastern North Carolina ever. And when I say that, it's not something that's going to happen overnight by any means, and it is 100% confidential as to what they are trying to do. Along with Chris and his people, I have been working with Representative Goodwin, not only on a weekly basis, sometimes it's on a daily basis, and as of this morning, we were talking for about an hour, just chatting this morning about what their plans are for Vertee County. The biggest thing that we have been working with them on is trying to get their sovereignty for their tribe. And that doesn't come in a matter of minutes either. As you well know, the Lumbees have been working for years trying to get theirs. But there's a big difference between the Lumbees and the Tuscaroans, and the Tuscaroans have actually been recognized in North Carolina since the 1700s. And that is the one thing that has come to light in trying to get their recognition and their sovereignty. To prove to you that they are very into what they are doing, they have hired a law firm out of Seattle that has argued before the Supreme Court four times and won. They have actually done the same exact thing that Chris and the Tuscaroans are trying to do with the Supreme Court, and that is argue their case that they should be federally recognized. And so, again, it's not something that is going to happen overnight. The main reason we wanted to get them in front of you was we wanted you, number one, to know what's going on in the county, what they're looking to do. That's number one. But number two, they're looking for your blessing. There's no need in them going out and trying to do all this work that they're planning on doing and spending the kind of money that they're going to end up spending. As you know, attorneys aren't inexpensive, are they, Jonathan? But rightfully so, they give you great advice, and that's what they were looking for with their group out of Seattle. We had a conversation with their attorneys in the conference room one day, and Representative Goodwin for well over an hour of exactly how we were going to try to work this out. They have their paperwork from their attorneys for the federal recognition, and we hope to very soon be able to meet with Senator Burr and Senator Tillis and really try to make this happen. As you probably know, the Tuscaroans are recognized in New York as a federally sovereign nation, and we're just going to ask for the same recognition here in North Carolina. Chris's words, not mine, just to wet the whistle a little bit. I can't say enough how confidential this has to be because of us working with the Cherokee Indians also. There is an Indian Affairs part of all of this that's got to work out too. Representative Goodwin, his legislative assistant Richard, have really been working on doing a lot of history work on this. And I'm going to have to ask you the gentleman's name that has popped up that was in the Indian Affairs, that we were both surprised he's been here before.
I don't recall.
It'll come to me in a minute. I'm sorry. It will come to me. But he's actually worked on some things here in Bertie County before. Long and short, there's a lot of things that's got to be happening behind closed doors before anything major can happen. Now, the big thing, I don't like to go, woo, let's have some big party. Not tell you what the party's going to be about. The big thing is, they're looking to actually have a connection with the Cherokees and have a casino here in the county. Now, whether it's...
I think at this time, I'm going to do due diligence with this board. This is not something that has not been rumored in the community already. Everything that you're saying has been rumored in the community since you were talking so much about confidentiality. I don't want this board to be set back to the nature of liability. If anything is outside on the streets now, as it is, because it's been brought to my attention, everything that he has just said on the outside of the streets already, sir. So I just wanted to let you know that. People in Indian Woods already know this. They took me to Green Pond Road back in that area because the guy, some guy that was declaring business and this, that, and the other. So I'm just doing due diligence, letting you know there's a lot of things being said out there that may be true, may not be true, are true, could be true, and people throw rocks and darts and everything else. So I'm just doing due diligence for this board that we're not liable for any of this if anything goes out, because it's probably already out there.
Well, I hope this particular part is not out there. But we have a company that is very, very interested in working with the Tuscaroans, that is a worldwide company, billions and billions of dollars in assets, that Representative Goodwin has been introduced to. And they are looking at a purchase of Scotch Hollow. And if you'll recall, there is a 300-acre parcel of land beside Scotch Hollow that they purchased separately. So you have the 900 acres that's the golf course and the housing, and then the 300 acres that is nothing but vacant waterfront property. One of the things that Representative Goodwin really wanted to get into was tourism with us. And when we got to talking about this, the part of the tourism he really liked was, as most of you have heard about, the ferry, high-speed ferry boats, and working them from Manio to Bertie to bring people over. He's already been working on the high-speed ferry boats for a while, you know, as to where they would run to Plymouth, Columbia, and Hartford, Eden, and here. And he was trying to put together at one time like a golf tour where people would get on the boat and go here and go there, wherever you want to play golf for the day. They'd circle back, pick you up, and carry you back when you're on vacation, either in Axie or Manion. And he's worked with the Chamber of Commerce in that area, Karen Brown, that they think it'll be great for them because it'll be bringing people from here to Manio or to the beach area. So, again, there's a lot of things that are trying to come together. It's going to be a while. Representative Goodwin is working with Representative Colburn, who represents the Cherokee area. And what he's trying to do there is set us up a meeting with the Cherokee to see if, you know, not if, knowing that they would be interested in working with the Tuscarora. Just really wanted you to know about it. I even knew that part of it was out, but most people are thinking more about what's going to happen down in Indian Woods. I don't know of anyone that really knows what's going on at Scotch Hollow. I don't know that many people even know that it's for sale and has been for sale. They spent north of 60.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I know that. I know that, but I don't know that there's that many people that really. are concerned or care or whatever. It was, they spent north of $60 million down there and can prove it, and it's on the market at $12 million. So they really do want to get out. But anyhow, I'm going to turn it over now to Chris. I'll let you introduce people that are with you. And one of the things that I do know Chris is interested in, as I told you on the onset, was, you know, we just want to make sure that y'all feel comfortable with this and, would be behind this as we move along and try to make this happen.
Okay. That's good.
Dwight, I scare you there, eh? Chris Hardison, what get Scarude, Uchide, Oyane. Hello, how are you? My name is Chris Hardison. I'm a Barricade in Tuscarora. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. As Steve said, I've had the pleasure of meeting Ron earlier. It's been almost 2 years now.
Yeah. I don't know, 2 years.
And so we're finally to the place where we'd like to come out in the open, I guess you would say. So, but again, thank you for having us. With me today, I have my wife, Chrissy. Chris and Chrissy Partisan.
Hi, Chris.
And then John Cummins and
hey, John.
Bernie and Kendall Walker.
Bernie.
We are four individuals from Skalude Kapanawaga Nation. I'm not sure how much you know about the history of the Tuscarora tribe, but I think, Ron, we've talked about this before. Originally, prior to the Tuscarora War of 1711, there was a group called the Council of the Great. Some estimates of the Tuscarora strength prior to the war were well over 100,000. Other estimates are a lot less than that, but there were about 24 to 26 towns from the Roanoke to the Tar to the Neuse down all the way down to Cape Fear. But the Council of the Great was considered, I guess for lack of a better term, a confederacy, similar to the Six Nations up in New York. And what we're hoping to be able to do, let me back up just a little. There were three main bands, if you will, of the Tuscarora. The Skalude, which means hemp gatherers. Then you have the Kapanawaga people, which are the people of the submerged pine or the cypress tree. And then the last one were the Aguasaga people, which today are, we think were actually the Maharan people up in Ahaska. That consisted of three large bands of what would be considered the Tuscarora Confederacy. And, a lot of my last name is Hardison, which there are a lot of Hardisons in this area and that, especially down in Martin County. But that's my father's side of the family. My mother's line, she goes back to Lowry's, Locklear's, Brooks, a lot of the names that were here very early on in history. And I'm not going to say that all Tuscaroras are from Robeson County today. That would be the furthest thing from the truth. There are Tuscarora remnants in probably five of the state-recognized tribes today. But today they're known as geographical names versus historical names, like the Waccamaw Suwan, and the Lummi, the Kahari, the Halamasaponi. They all can show direct migrations from Indian woods themselves. And what we're trying to do, we even though a majority of our people come from Robeson County today, were born in Robeson County, we're hoping to be able to come back to Burton County, which is our original roots, and recreate that confederacy that once was. We we're in the process of creating a document with the help of our attorneys up in Seattle. His name is Matthew Harrington. He recently, I think in March, he won what's known today as the Cougar case. So he's very well versed in treaty law and Indian affairs. But what we're hoping to be able to do, I don't want to get too much into politics because we really don't appreciate politics too much when it comes to how our people have been, or the things that our people have been subjected to over the years. I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican. But what we're trying to do is create a coalition of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The very first one we approached was Mr. Wesson. I've since talked to Toby Fitch. I don't know if you're aware of that. But we would like to go to Raleigh and to Washington with a combined force of both parties to help speed things along, I guess you would say. But what we envision coming back to Bertie County, I know that Robeson County, as well as Bertie, two of the poorest counties in the state. But our problem is that in Robeson County, we, by federal law, because we reside in that county and the five surrounding counties, by federal law, we have to take the name Lumbee. The Tuscarora and the Lumbee both share identical genealogies, identical history. It's just a matter of what the people self-identify as. But out of that Lumbee Act jurisdiction, we're able to once again be who our ancestors were, and that's Tuscarora. And our position is that the names that the state has put upon our people, all these past two centuries, rather, they never specifically took away our rights as Tuscarora. And that's what the position that we've taken. And Representative Ed Goodwin, as well as our attorneys, they agree that they've never found any instance where the state officially took away our sovereignty, which they didn't have the right to do anyway, as well as the federal government level. So what we are, pardon me, flying.
He's been over here too.
But that's our position, is that we still retain the rights that we've always enjoyed. And now that we've come back to our homeland there in Indian Woods, we're confident that we'll be able to get our status back, both at the state level and the federal level. And so what we would like, in the beginning of the year, there's going to be a bill submitted that basically states that we've, in so many words, that we are like a government that has been in exile for a long time. And now we're coming back and we want to reestablish the relationship with both at the county level, the state level, and the federal government level. And we have a lot of vision as far as bringing economic development to the area. The things that we've tried to do in Robeson County, because we consider ourselves Tuscarora, has been, to put it nicely, has been stopped. Every instance we've ever tried to do because of the politics. And Indian politics is just as rough as American politics, sometimes even rougher. So that's an issue that we've had to overcome. And but what we would like to do, we want to bring tourism to the county. We want to bring economic development activities to the county for ourselves as well as the county to benefit. We would like to reestablish our government-to-government relationship with you guys and ladies as well. And yeah, there's been a lot of, as you said, there's been a lot of rumors already. We were in Bone Skillet one day and overheard some people talking about our property. This is early on, just had the foundation laid. But we heard that the building that we're building is supposed to be 22 stories. So I took it as a sign that you know, we speak the power, we're speaking into existence. So maybe one day we will see a 22-story facility, but not just in that particular area.
Well, I didn't see no steel out there to do that,
but there they go. But, you know, a lot of concern has always been, and I'll go ahead and brush this up, land claims. We're not here to take anybody's land. The land that we've got so far, we've purchased it with the help of some friends of ours, and there's no reason why we can't purchase more of it in the future. That's always been a rumor. I guess I've been told that it was more like a bedtime story where parents try to scare their kids. The Tuscaroras are going to one day come back and try to take their land from them. But that couldn't be further from the truth, as far as our intentions. We don't want to alienate anybody. We don't want to make any enemies of anybody on Indian Woods Road. There was I don't remember her name. I regret that, but a lady that lives adjacent to our Green Pond property, that was the first thing she asked. You're not going to come and take my land, are you? And we said, no, ma'am. We don't have any intentions of doing that whatsoever. So, that's always been, from what we hear, that's always been a rumor that one day that might happen. So we wanted to alleviate everybody's concerns in that regard. We've contemplated on whether or not to call a local meeting just for the people of that area to say the same things. And we may very well do that in the future once we get the building that we're building open or ready enough to house people. We may very well call a local meeting to try to alleviate anybody's concern in that regard. But we're not here to try to hurt. We're here to try to uplift ourselves and as well uplifting the county. And we want to do what we can to ensure that everybody is looked after what we're able to do. One of the things that we would like to do is to create a trail. It's more of a history trail than anything, to allow the public to know who we are coming into the area. Because, even though we're the first ones to do what we're doing on the land, by no means are we claiming to be the only descendants of the Tuscarora Nation. Like I said, there are other groups within the state. And coming full circle to my original thought, the Confederacy is what we're wanting to recreate. And by doing that, we can bring in these other groups that have a voice in what goes on over the Tuscarora affairs. And benefit as well as any of the other groups. It's kind of premature right now. We're not at that stage yet to invite other groups, but we're probably within the next month we'll be ready. And we're trying to build a longhouse out behind the building that we're just about done with. Pardon me?
You shoot that line. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But our longhouse is basically like the state capitol. All of our governmental affairs and as well as religious affairs take place there, ceremonies and whatnot. So that's going to be our next project that we're going to be starting pretty quickly. And but this, the building that we're building now is going to be called the Lost Colony Trading Post, which I can, I guess I can segue into another piece of information. One of our oldest oral traditions is that our people descend from the Lost Colony, that our people took in the Lost Colonists in the 1580s, and that we gradually migrated from up in this area down to where we're at now. And that's, it's starting to ring true that that actually was the case. I've got documents from the late 1800s, early 1900s, that say our people came from Avoca, which just so happens is the location of Scotch Hall and the property that, that Steve was talking about. And evidently, the I think the state is going to be creating a state park around Site X. So that kind of is kind of fitting, I think, for us to be coming back, especially for that particular area, because of Site X, you can actually see from Scotch Hall, which I thought was pretty ironic. But yeah, that is something that we would like to work with the county and the state on as well, this park idea. But yeah, we again, I think I've talked too much now. So I'll close it, and if there's anybody got any questions for me or any of the others, I'd be happy to entertain.
Is really the next step for you guys to get your sovereignty? I mean, to which I'm sure you filed for, because you already have a law firm. And that would be the next step, correct?
Yes, sir. I don't know if you've kept in touch, but there's a Commission of Indian Affairs that was formed in 1971. And they have been given sole discretion, I guess you could say, as to who they allow to be state recognized. And there has been a concerted effort for the last 48 years, 47 years now, to keep Tuscarora from recognition. There's a lot of theory as to why that would be. I don't want to get into that today, but needless to say, just a few weeks ago, there was a group, or three groups, that were denied their state recognition. So we didn't go that route because we didn't think that we needed to, because that would be asking for something that we already have in our minds. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want to go that route. Now these other groups understand what we were trying to say, and so I think they're going to be coming on board with what we're doing. The first year, Mr. Ed Goodwin is going, and the coalition that we're trying to build of both parties, there will be simultaneous bills, they'll be drafted within the next couple of weeks probably. But there will be two simultaneous bills put in for reaffirming our state recognition, for one thing. Once that's completed, then hopefully we'll be able to have other simultaneous bills at the federal level, basically saying the same thing, that we already are sovereign, but we never lost our sovereignty, and asked to be listed on the list of federally recognized tribes. And once that occurs, then that will open the avenue for all of the rest of our rights that we can assert, which one of which is the Class III gaming. And once that is in stone, then the idea of the Scotch Hall property will be, I guess you would say, you'd be able to see the light in, at the end of the tunnel then. But
yeah, let me ask you another question real quick. If the board, I'm just speaking for myself, it's not like you're trying to do some really great things here.
Thank you.
Some really great things for Burton County, for the people of Burton County, because we can feed off of this to grow. Okay?
Right.
if the board agreed to this, okay, with what we have in the minutes, to put a proclamation together or something of that nature, send that to the state, and you would have a copy of it also, that the local government, again, it has to be what the board agrees with, okay? And we can have some conversation about that, I think, okay? Because what you have basically said, you're not here to take land. You're here to enterprise yourself, sovereign nation, as far as your tribe, I'm gonna call it, is that, if I'm...
That's proper, yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I look at Scotch Hall, because I have met with people out there before myself, in reference to that being a diamond that nobody had really processed to the point that it could be a place where people fly in and have timeshares. Okay? Where you build condominiums or townhomes on the water and you sell them 20 times over, if that makes sense, which I have met with people out there. Okay, in reference to all this, I see that how this all could work into the great scheme of things as far as the growth of Bertie County, the economics of Bertie County, okay? Because number one, we're gaining jobs, we're employing people, we have people, tourism coming in, things of that nature. And I think it's something that needs to be discussed further as a board, okay? What direction? I have to speak for myself, I'm speaking for myself only. I would be in favor of this happening because I think that this is something that could be a kickoff to an economic stream here in Bertie County that would funnel to everybody, whether it's West Bertie County, East Bertie County, wherever it may be. And so that's my personal opinion. And I have had these meetings out there, so.
I would like to say, thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome.
I am understanding and feeling exactly what you're saying. I think it's great, fantastic. And to do a resolution, I feel like we should support it. And it would be a win-win situation for us all.
It would.
If by chance you get that 7-story building.
Hey, you're only 20 stories, I don't want you to steal more about that.
Yeah, just let me know.
We've already done this, haven't we? Not?
Yes.
Would a resolution help your efforts in?
It would, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. It really would. And I appreciate the offer of that.
Okay. If there's any particular wording that needs to be there, we need to know about it.
Okay.
The only thing that, and again, I'm going to step back here for a second, some of the wording that you do, we're not here to take on. I think that should be in the resolution.
Yeah, I think also, because we want to work with Ed about the language of the two bills, they want to go in and see how we can support some of that as well.
Okay.
Because I know the slant that they're planning to take.
First of all,
come a long way.
So years ago, the first time I started talking about this,
the county is looking at that whole property area out there, right, on the Aramont, as a future economic driver, recreation, the whole works to that. In fact, that's why we first purchased that 138 acres, now we're 148 acres. We helped get the Coastal Land Trust involved, and they own that 1,300 acres, which is now the state park, right? At Scotch Hall there, it could be put to much better use. It's not a thriving business at this point, we know this. But combined with Eddie's ideas about the ferries and driving tourism and growth here, this could fit just like this. Mm-hmm. And we need that partner. The Tuscaroras have a proud history here in Bertie County. And we would want to include that in the vision of what this place, I would like to see us do that anyway, and what this place is going to be, right? Whether it's a state park, whether it's what you do independently, what we do as a county. I mean, all of that just adds to the draw, right? But let me say one other thing. We talk about how initially this thing was going to be approached, right? Mm-hmm. And my advice to you then was got to make this a bipartisan effort. Because you cannot do it just through Democrats, you cannot do it just through Republicans. We need to take the politics out of it. If you're going to get the support, we need it in Raleigh. And that's exactly what has happened for us. That's a major, major win, Chris. That's a major win. We can keep the political piece out of it. The only other piece that I know that's troubling still is the Indian Affairs piece. You know, but let me tell you, at the recent powwow in the Maharans, there was talk about, you know, because Maharans alone, Columbia alone, cannot get to where the Tuscaroras already have the right to be. And I think they know that. And if we can get some movement around the legislation, I think they will get on board and drive the Indian Affairs piece. Because everybody will want in if the legislation can move. That's the key, Chris. That's the key.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, thank you for the work that you guys have done. And I think at some point, having something in you, which, you know, we're working down there too. We've got a, you know, new recreation park out there with a walking track and gym and everything. And the work that you guys did at Hope, being a part of that, you know, celebration out there, brought a lot of recognition to what you're doing and let folks know that this is positive.
Is this board a position for wanting to move forward just to make a motion for a resolution?
Or if you could simply give instruction to staff to be preparing.
Right.
And it took a minute for the light bulb to come off about Steve's mentioning to me. I believe the name he's thinking of is Dr. Imes,
yes,
with the North Carolina History Museum, who's been with the board a couple of times, first when he kicked off the Poverty Commission, but then he came back to talk about a road marker project. It's my understanding he's been working very, very closely with Representative Goodwin to confirm historically through the archives and help make the case that all of the records are there. But we've all heard his passion for Bertie County and the history that is ours that can be built upon. So this is exciting stuff.
And if I could, speaking, and I just could not remember Dr. Adams' name, the first day that Richard and Eddie Goodwin met with Dr. Adams, he talked about Bertie County and everything that he loved about it. But he found paperwork that goes back and talks about the Tuscaroras that was so old that they would not let anyone touch it. I mean, the only way that Eddie could get his hands on the documents was to literally take pictures of them because of the paper they were written on. So that's where Eddie decided to come up with, after he talked with several representatives and senators about what was going on here, was, you know, why should we have to fight the Indian Affairs when they've already been recognized in North Carolina? We have the paperwork that goes back to the 1700s or earlier that shows that. And so, as Chris mentioned, you know, a bill really should just take care of that instead of having to fight your way through some things that we fought our way through this past year. You know, the bill should suffice. And
this resolution needs to be in sync to a lot of degree with what's going to be worded in that resolution.
Absolutely.
We want to make it very clear of what we are supporting, not just the Tuscaroras, but their sovereignty and the connection with that.
We don't want to create a stumbling block.
That's right.
Also, with the verbiage that could be in a resolution or a proclamation, whichever one, and make a long story short. But we can entertain that motion to prepare staff to move forward on this and begin to go. Okay.
And I feel confident we could work with Dr. Hines and Richard as far as what they would like to see in that resolution.
Now, of course, this is a closed session of reference to economics, but there's nothing really that has been said in here that's not out on the street already. So I just want to make that clear and do that due diligence.
And a vote can be taken in a closed session, right, for the resolution.
Or just general consensus to give the direction to staff is.
Okay.
And consensus means everybody's head is nodding. So I want to make sure all five are very supportive. Okay.
That the staff has been informed to move forward on this once we get some legislation so we can make it connect.
Is Toby Fitzgerald involved? He's going to run a mile.
He will be. The first time I met him was when he was still a state representative. Then a few days later, he was made a judge by the governor, and that's when he's been involved with Tuscarora affairs for probably 25 years now.
Okay.
So he was very excited for us to visit with him, and I look forward to working with him in the future. So. But ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate your time. We welcome the idea of a resolution from the county. That's more than we had expected to come from this initial meeting. But we look forward to other meetings in the future and look forward to a long and fruitful partnership.
Thank you.
I'd like to shake everybody's hand.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
This is very exciting.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
this is the stuff that shows me. I believe it. There's so many. There's going to be some really cool stuff.
Take care. The record reflect that you all voted to come out of closed session.
Yes,
because we're going back in. We'll just use this.
Exactly.
was the vice chairman is seconding that motion. In the minutes.
Okay, that was a little back. We had a presentation by the Carolina Rehabilitation Ministry representatives for proposed long-term lease renovation of DSS Health Department facilities on Wayland Street. Who would like to be the speaker?
Yes, sir. I'm Jake Clark. I'm the executive director. To my right, far right, is Andy Edge. He works full time for us. He's a general contractor. And I'll show you, you all know David Peel. 2011, United Methodist Church, wanting to serve its community in Washington County, began an urgent repair ministry for low-income homeowners. At little or no cost to those homeowners, we would send in teams of volunteers, and these teams would come to us from as far away as South Dakota, far south is Tampa, to northeast New York. And they come in and work for a week, no charge, pay their own expense, and work on the projects that we give to them. It's our desire, not as a church, we spun off the ministry. Now it's the Carolina Rebuilding Ministry. We're a 501c3. Though we are loosely affiliated with the United Methodist Church now, we are not a part of the church. And we would like to come to Bertie County and do the same type of work. We are not a disaster relief ministry or outreach. We are a strategic, intentional rebuilding ministry, working in with low-income families. We would like to use to renovate and to use the properties that you have out on Wayland Avenue, the old social services building, convert that into a lodging kind of kitchen, dining room, and then the property next door, the former health services use that. Down the road is phase two. As office spaces and another gathering space. Mr. Peel's going to talk about any questions that you might have related to the construction project or financing or any other questions you might have. And when we have question time, I'll be glad to speak as well. David?
Well, our motto is repairing homes, sharing hope. Most of the people that are our clients that we work with are very poor people, but the key is they're property owners today in their respective counties. And we want them to stay in their houses. But a lot of their houses, either the roof leaks or the bathrooms or they've got rotten wood or there's all kinds of problems that they have. And unfortunately, in this day and age, they have been taken advantage of by other contractors in the world who have tried to do jobs for them, and they've basically taken their money or charged them three times too much for what it is. And so our ministry is set up such that we come in and restore their hope in humankind, and in most cases, it doesn't cost them anything. There has been cases where the renovations were so extensive that Jay has worked with a local bank to be able to reconsolidate loans and get it down where they had to do some stuff. Because basically there was one house over in Plymouth that we basically completely redid. But when that happens, it's an entirely different story. So that facility that we're talking about, this would be the first time that we've actually tried to do this and not be in a facility that's owned by a church. Our typical model, and a model that other building ministries like us have used, is they try to house work teams in a church facility But that church facility then has got to have showers, they've got to have bathrooms, they've got to have a commercial kitchen, they've got to have air conditioning, they've got to have an ice machine. What they got to have. Well, most churches have ice machines, they have commercial, semi-commercial kitchens. But now the fire codes have got us again. And there's restrictions on what you can and cannot do as far as housing work teams in local churches. So this represents a step forward for us in faith to be able to go out and have our own place. Now our model that we've tried to work for, or work under, or work after, is the Appalachian Service Project. The Appalachian Service Project has been active in the Appalachian Mountains and Western North Carolina and Tennessee and Virginia for the last 50 years. It's an outgrowth of the Methodist Church. They literally have thousands of people come out and volunteer here now. We're at the point today that Jay talked about teams. I think last year we had 18 teams come through Plymouth and Edenton. That represented about a little over 500 to 550 volunteers. Usually they stay a week, so we figure 30, 35 hours a week. It's like 15,000 hours of exposure that they get to people that they've never had any contact with before. And in most cases, most of these volunteers who come have never had any contact before. And so trying to meet a poor person and understand how they're living and how they get through life is a difficult thing to do. And so for most times, it is a religious experience, not only for the person that we've restored hope for, but it's also a religious experience for the volunteers that come. Because for the first time, they get to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and they get to serve poor people, and they get to see their faith. One of the stories we like to tell is we did a house over in Roper, and it was as simple as painting that wall. And the homeowner started crying. And we couldn't figure out why she was crying. And she had been homeless most of her life. This is the first home she'd ever lived in. And no one had ever asked her before what color the walls would be. And she got to pick out the color of the walls, the paint of the walls that particular day. And so it's simple things like that that are life-changing. So moving to Berkeley County, you guys face it every day because you're county commissioners. You know that we're either number one or number two on the list as being one of the poorest counties in the state of North Carolina. I guess it depends on what the
matter. We've actually moved up. We're five.
We're five now. Okay.
And hopefully we'll be somewhere between 7 and 10 this next go around.
Well, that'd be great. But one of the things we want to do is help the poor people in Berkeley County. Is we want to be able to start working on houses that are over here and keep them in those houses, keep them paying property tax, keep them buying electricity, keep them buying groceries, and doing all that stuff. And the way we figured it today, if we can get this lease for this building, it's going to cost Berkeley County, county government, any money. There's no cost to the county government to do that. And the other thing that when we were talking previously, we learned about a need that we think the county has, and we're quite willing to help with that. And that is during times of disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever, and you have first responders and you have FEMA workers come in, and you need a place for them to stay. This facility is an ideal location for them to come get a hot shower and get a meal and be able to have a place to sleep that y'all don't have to figure out some other place to do it. And so we're quite willing, because quite frankly, we're not going to have any teams here during a hurricane anyway. Our teams typically come during the summertime when people have vacation time and be able to do that. And so, having that building will allow us to move to the next stage. Our ultimate goal is to have three of these places in North Carolina. Now, we may have more than that if we may get old and tired before we decide we get that far. But we want to keep the one in Washington County. We're really excited that the county of Berkeley is willing to partner with us to be able to do this. We've been fortunate enough that we received the largest non-church related gift or grant from the Duke Endowment of any organization that's ever been had. and we got a $1.1 million 3-year grant from Duke and Dowling. So we're not the favorite children in Duke and Dowling, but we're the second favorite children in Duke and Dowling. And so we know, we believe that the Duke and Dowling is going to continue to support us, but eventually Duke and Dowling wants us to be sustainable. And so in our lifetimes, we're working on measures to be able to institute programs that allow us to be a sustainable organization over this time period of being able to do this. But quite frankly, the Duke and Dowling, Golden League, people like that are going to have to support us to be able to get this through. I don't foresee an issue in trying to get the money to be able to do the renovation. We're estimating somewhere $250,000 to $300,000 is what it's going to cost to be able to get that building into the condition that we have it, to meet all the codes that we have, both from the fire code standpoint and the American Disabilities Act standpoint, to be able to do all that. So we're quite willing to do all that kind of stuff, and we believe that we can find the money to be able to do that. So that, in a nutshell, is where we're at. I guess the main points are, we don't believe today it's going to cost the county any money. We're quite willing to sign a lease that says that if we ever disband, you can have the building back with all the furnishings and everything that we put into it. You can have it all back just like it was. And then you can continue to use it as a first responder or whatever you want to, area, whatever it has to do.
How long would you want the lease to be?
Oh, I don't know. 100 years.
Yeah, let me ask a couple questions now,
right,
if you're okay with that.
Sure.
The warehouse, where we're warehousing all our non-emergency and emergency equipment right now, how would we work that out?
We don't really need that warehouse today.
You do not?
No.
Would that be part of the renovation as far as the roof and things of that nature?
Right now, the renovation we're talking about is just on that main building.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
So you don't need,
we don't need
us to move our stuff, no, warehouse or anything. All that can stay where it's at, boats and everything else.
We were fortunate enough, if you go down, I don't know what the building is, but if you go down 45 and intersect with 64 right there in Plymouth.
Right.
Right there to the right hand side. Used to be
Eastern Fuels. Eastern Fuel.
Quite
intersection of
45. I know you're talking
about. Anyway, they gave us that building, basically. And we're supposed to pay the property tax on it. Mm-hmm. And they paid the property tax every year we've had for them. So they let us have that building, basically. We went in there and spent about $100,000 renovating that building. So the front part of that building is our offices. The back part of that building is our warehouse that we keep supplies in. And so then we purchased, with the money we've had, we purchased a 6-person shower unit that we hauled to different sites to be able to have showers, local shower units, and then we bought work trailers.
Okay.
So just like a normal contractor, we have work trailers, and every hand tool you can imagine that.
Exactly, what is it you want to lease? What part of it? Just that building, and I guess some of the section of land?
Right now, I guess it's just that building and apartment. It's a parking space back there.
The two buildings.
Would you be renovating the two buildings?
At some juncture, the second building, we wouldn't make that lodging. That would be offices and a gathering space.
And probably some renovations.
And the roof on that building was good.
Yeah.
On the roof on social service building is not good. And as you know, the building over the offices that's attached to the warehouse is not good at all.
Well, let me ask you a question. The buildings and everything is in the city. Has anybody talked to the town of Windsor as far as how this fits into their zoning or any of this? Or is there any zoning changes? Okay. Or would there be a zoning change?
No.
I don't think there would be. Be quite frank with you, but it may be a conversation,
okay,
so that it doesn't take anybody by surprise, something like that.
We had planned to put something else on that property, and some of the residents in that neighborhood didn't like the idea. So the town probably really does need to be informed.
And they have been. I've had discussions with them. We even with the members of the board.
Good. Still don't see a problem. That's fine.
Let me say this just for everybody know. I am a member of the board of directors of Carolina Rebuilders Ministry. And the reason I joined it was because of the work that they had already done. When you talk about 15,000 man hours worth of work in a community, that's a game changer. And to be able to come to Burton County as the next move and bring that kind of virtually free labor materials to Burton County would change home ownership in a big way. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Burton County in the region has the highest percentage of home owners in the five counties. But a lot of those homes are very, very poor repair. Very poor repair. So, you know, this is a real opportunity, as well as what it could do for the county in terms of being able to use that property. And yeah, I mean, the building, that's the storage facility. I mean, you know, Carolina Rebuilders would love to have it at some point, but, you know, that building, I think, John, you estimated, or Scott, it's got $300,000 to rebuild that building. So if you tore that building down, regardless of what the property you got, where are we going to store that stuff? We don't have the money to build a $300,000 building. So, I mean, and let me say one other thing. We met, Jay and I, with the West Roanoke Association. And the reason we met with them is because they have a network of churches in this county, over 60 churches. And we talked to them about partnering with us to be able to do three things. First of all, identify, you know, from their membership and other churches, homes that need work, right? People in their communities, in their congregation that need work in their homes. We also talked about volunteers. And then being able to volunteer to support the center. Not just volunteers coming from outside of BRT, but BRT people putting their time in their community to help. And we also have a conversation with leadership about them supporting it financially from the association. So, I mean, I think that this has such great potential. And, you know, thank you guys for thinking about BRT County, because it's going to be a game changer.
Well, my question is next. I guess would be to say this. I mean, as far as the lease and things of that nature, I can't speak for the whole board, I speak for myself. I think it's very advantageous for Burton County to have this under the belt, just for the simple fact that we all can share in this building, especially in times of need on our side. And we don't lose our warehouse space where we have all our storage for EMS equipment and all that, because it will cost us $300,000 to build another warehouse.
Oh, sure.
Because we need at least 10,000 square feet, probably. And your contract, probably, you know, is almost down to $300K.
We met, John, with the with the inspectors from the counties. We've gone out there and looked at it in terms of sprinkler systems. So we're not naive about what it's going to take to redo it. We understand that.
Well, no, I don't think it's good to be $300,000.
And they've come up with some ways that we can really do it. And say, but one of the things I said to other board members is that it's important that if we get this opportunity, and we're not talking about just what we do on the inside of the building. We're talking about what we do on the outside of the building to change this from the eyesore that it is in that community so that the citizens can be proud of what's there. It's just as important what we do on the outside as what we do on the inside. I mean, obviously, we want to use it on the inside, but that outside property, changing this from something that these citizens, that's my district. And, you know, they've been asking us for years to
clean it up.
Clean it up. So I think they would be real receptive.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is the board in a position at the time to let them prepare some sort of lease so we can review that and look at it? And move from that standpoint? Is the board prepared to at least step that into those shoes and make a motion on that?
I think we really need that before we can even take much more
into consideration.
I have a question.
And
I understand you're fixing up low income. What is the criteria for fixing up all?
Home ownership, and we figure low income at federal poverty rate based on the HUD computation. Family of four, it usually rate at $28,000 annual income.
You said something a while ago about having to go to the bank for you know, a particular project to help that
right.
homeowner get the desired rehab. So what dictates when you would have to do that? I mean, because if they're already low income, they don't need to be having to get a bank loan.
Our average is about $1,800, $2,000 per project is what it is. But that project probably ran closer to $10,000 or $15,000. And so she had a number of loans out there with different organizations and stuff, and so she was paying like 15, 16%, 18% interest. And it was actually BB&T and Plymouth, but the BB&T lady in Plymouth said, I can help her consolidate those loans, and since she owned the house. She never took like a second mortgage on her house. I can consolidate all that and get her a lower interest rate. And so we gotcha. Rolled up some of our extra expenses into that to be able to do it. It's on a one-on-one
basis. That's only happened. Locations.
Okay. So now that's where those beautiful houses not trailers or trailers also where people own trailers?
Yes, we have done that. Mm-hmm. Double what yes.
Okay.
Who would be responsible for, let's say, your water bill or the taxes on this once the lease is complete?
Oh, we would be responsible for the taxes, for the water. If you all still own the building.
There's no taxes.
Right. There's no taxes because it's 501c3
or anything. There wouldn't be taxes on anything.
But we would cover it.
We're going to pick up all the utility costs.
Yes.
So basically, you're going to transfer it over to us. You're going to lease us the building for zero cost because we're going to pay all the utilities. We're going to have the insurance and we're going to have to pay the utility costs.
Does it make sense for the board to ask them to go ahead and prepare a lease for our review? At this time?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Because if I answer this lease question, I'm writing for 99 years.
It doesn't matter as long as we are a certain amount of years, we'll give you notice. 50 years.
50 years, we all get notice, right?
Exactly.
That's good.
I'm kind of thinking, just a little bit with us. How can we say no? You bring the preacher in here for this.
When I took you to West Monroe, you did the same thing. And that's what I love.
Yeah, I will tell you my whole concern with that property has been to get it cleaned up. It is an eyesore. If I lived in that neighborhood, I'd be fighting mad with us.
Oh, I agree.
And so if some group, and we do have someone else that's interested in that property. I just want it cleaned up. Yeah, I get on Mitch right steady about cleaning his mess up. I just want it cleaned up.
Oh, okay, that's what
the residents
want.
Yeah.
They want that.
Mr. Sauer, I think we're motion on this to ask them to go ahead and prepare a lease for our review. Okay.
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
No, I think I'm just going to say I think it's a moot point.
Never mind. All right. Can I have a motion, please?
I make that motion to ask Carolina Rebuilders Management to construct a lease to submit that to us for consideration on the property.
Second.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Anything else on good? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. And so then we actually work with Scott. That's who you're going to work with?
For just a little bit, then you're going to be with Mr. Vaughn.
How much longer you guys got?
November 1.
Well, you might do it. Thank you very much.
You too.
Let's take 30 minutes.